Today we're going to be learning the Torah song, the Shira of Hazinu. And truth be told, really every part of this parsha has multiple messages that are not seen on the surface. Typically, you have to try to work on understanding the psukim, the verses, in a literal way, Pshuto shel Mikra, and then you can look for a deeper meaning, but not with this parsha. It's all deeper. So the second reading of Parshas Hazinu opens with a calling for us to learn the lessons of history. Verse 7 of the 32nd chapter of the book of Devarim, Deuteronomy. The Torah says, Zecher Yemeis Elam. Remember days of yore. Binu Shneis Devader. Contemplate or understand the historical happenings. The generational historical happenings. Sha'al avicha, ask your father, yagidcha, he will tell you. Zekeinecha, your grandfather, v'yeim rulach, and he will say to you. So our obvious question is, what does this mean? Zecher yemeis olam, remember days of yore. I mean, that in and of itself doesn't even have a Pshuto shel Mikra interpretation. What are days of yore? What are Yemeis Olam? Literally, days of the world. What should we remember? So Rashi says, Zecher Yemeis Olam, remember days of the world, means remember Me'asa Berishenim Sheikhisu Lafanav. Remember what happened in the beginning of human history when people angered or incited God. Now it's interesting that many of the Rishonim, when they talk about Yemeis Olam, they talk about days of the world, they say this refers to Shesh Yesimei Bereshis. It refers to the 6 days of creation. For example, Ramban says, Yemeis Olam, Shesh Yesimei Bereshis. Rabbeinu Bechaya doesn't talk about Shesh Yesimei Bereshis, he talks about Yemei HaBriya, the days of creation. And similarly, the Ur HaChaim, later on in the Achronim, also goes on to interpret at length the concept of Yemeis Olam as days of creation of the world. So why doesn't Rashi say that? I think it's because nobody was around. How could you remember it? You weren't there. You only remember things you were there. We can only recall human history. The whole notion of creation of the world in 6 days is not something that we really understand. How the Eibishter created the world in 6 days, which we know today would have to take in natural means millions or maybe billions of years if it were to randomly evolve, and it would be something that would be developed according to the vicissitudes of time as we know them today, according to the variables of time as we are familiar with now. So it would take enormous amounts of time. So obviously if Torah says 6 days, 6 days is 6 days. Okay, fine. So how did the Eibishter pack 6 days of life more millions of years into 6 days? I don't know. I can't remember that. There's no point in saying Zecher Yemeis Olam, even though Yemeis Olam in and of themselves sounds like days of the world. To say Zecher, remember, the verb of remember, is very, very difficult to say. I think this is why Rashi avoids that approach. And he says, what could you remember? You could remember history. But if you can't remember history, you can look at history, analyze history, euphemistically remember. And Rashi begins to speak about the earliest days of human history. He says, for example, what does it mean, Binu Shneis Devader? What does it mean? To contemplate deeply, to understand the years and the generations. So Binu is obviously comes from the term Hizbanunus. Hizbanunus means to contemplate or understand. And when you look at Der Enosh, the generation of Enosh, which this was a generation that introduced idolatry to the world, and it took off with tremendous velocity, tremendous speed. And somewhere early in the days of Enosh, Heitzif Aleihem Mei Ha'okianus, God covered them with the waters of the Atlantic, or the ocean, oceanic bodies. So presumably, we don't know details about this because the Torah doesn't talk to us in detail about what that meant. Presumably, there must have been a giant tsunami or something like that, in which the ocean covered an enormous part of the Mesopotamian cradle where civilization was born. And many people died. And this was Hashem exacting vengeance, Hashem's anger at the idolatry that had swept across the world. Everybody suddenly turned their backs on God. How did it change things? It didn't. Things got even worse afterwards. So then, Ula Deir HaMabel, then there was a Deir HaMabel, Sheshtafam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally obliterated them with water. But then it just wasn't a tsunami, it wasn't waters in the ocean. Then it was waters from deep geysers and 40 days of rain and so on and so forth. So these are the things which you contemplate. In other words, every time humanity turned its back on God, bad things ensued. It didn't go well. In the last century, people turned their backs on God. Atheism was the new savior. It was going to save everybody. Communism was going to save everybody. We don't need a God. And the Nazis were essentially an atheistic movement. And if you take a look at the nefarious deeds of the Nazis, of the Russian communists, and later of the Chinese communists and the Korean communists, I think that you end up with more than 100 million people murdered in the 20th century. Rahman al-Tan. So it never goes well. Abandonment of God never, ever goes well. And the Torah wants us to contemplate this and think about it. That's number one. But how are you contemplating and thinking about something you don't really know, you weren't there for? So Rashi says there's another interpretation here. Davar Acher. Another way of understanding the verse when it talks about Yemes Eilam, when it talks about the days of history, days of the world, Le'nesatem levavchem alma sha'over. You have not carefully analyzed what's gone on. What's al sha'over? Binu shneis der lahakir lahaba. You should look at the happenings, the years of generations, to know how things will go in the future. Sheyesh biyada, you will see that it's within the purview of God lehitiv lachem ulahanchil lachem, that God could give you enormous rewards. And he could bring you into a perfect reality, which this will be Yemes HaMashiach Ve'Elam Haba. In other words, human history, as the people of Israel had seen it, is rich enough, is profound enough to provide a lesson about what God can and will do. So you don't have to go back to the days of Enosh, which we don't really know anything about. You don't have to go back and contemplate the days of Noach and the Great Flood. You just look at history. Just look at even history that you've lived. And you see that God can and does take action. And therefore, that should be good enough for you. Contemplate history, think about history, and you'll see that it will lead you back to a path of devotion to Hashem. There's much to be said about this, but that's at least on some level the way we open this verse. Now comes an imperative. Moshe Rabbeinu says to us, Sha'al avicha v'yageidcha. You must ask your father, he will tell you. Zekeinecha, your grandfather, v'yem rulach, and they will say to you. So it goes from avicha, singular. We use the word yageidcha, or magid, lahagid, which is tough talk. And then we talk about zekeinecha, we talk about multiple grandfathers, could be because you have two grandfathers, naturally. V'yem rulach, they will tell you. But does it mean grandfathers altogether? So let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, sha'al avicha, you should ask your father. But everybody's father is a genius. Everybody's father has something meaningful to say. Can't really expect everybody's father to provide guidance or illuminate the path of their son or daughter. What about the mother? So Rashi says like this. Sha'al avicha does not mean your father or your mother. It's not what it means. He says, avicha is elu hanavim. This refers to the prophets. And the prophets, shenikroyim avos, the prophets are called father. Why are they called father? Where do we see that? Like it says with regard to the prophet Elijah, when he took leave of his disciple Elisha and he ascended heavenward in what is proverbially referred to as a chariot of fire, which may be something as simple as he moved at the speed of light and he appeared to be a flash. So it's called a chariot of fire. And Elisha, who sees his Rebbe disappear on him, or disappear in a flash of light, he cries out, Avi, Avi, twice. In grief, he cries out, my father, Rechav Yisrael, chariot of Israel. So from this we see that the prophets are who is being referred to. Now we'll come back to this soon. But the first thing we say, Sha'al Avicha, is ask your prophet. Zekeinecha. Who are the Zekeinim then? If Avicha is not a father, so then, and he's a prophet, who is Zekeinecha? So Rashi says, Zekeinecha, these are Elu HaChachamim, these are the sages, which in the language of the Mishnah, or of the scripture actually, they're referred to as Zekeinim, elders. And we know the Sifri tells us, and the Mishnah tells us, that Zakenecha or Zaken is Zaken is Zeshekana Chachma. It's an acronym of sorts for the one who has acquired Zeshekana, the one who acquired wisdom. So therefore, Zakenecha would mean the wise, the Torah sages. The Yem Rulach, what will they tell you? They will tell you what is Shainis, what we just talked about now. They will teach you how to look at history. They will teach you how to analyze what has happened in the past, so you should be able to chart the future. As they say, if you don't have a past, you cannot have a future. So the future has everything to do with the concept of being able to analyze and look at the past. And this is perhaps also why Rashi avoids interpreting Yemes Olam as the days of creation, because what could the prophets tell you about that? But they can tell you how to analyze history. History has lessons, and we must learn the lesson of history, not just learn the words of Bereshis Bara, but rather learn history. Now, this idea of Avicha being your father, there are different opinions about this. According to the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel, Avicha actually refers to the Torah. The Torah is like a father. It's like a father could give guidance to a son. The Torah gives guidance to every one of us. According to Ramban, Avicha is those who get it, people who understand. And the Kli Yakar maintains that this is, to some degree, literal. So if the Torah is Avicha, who is Zekenecha? We know what Rashi said. One is the prophets, one is the sages. So the Targum Yonasan says, Zekenecha are the words of the later prophets. So there's the Torah itself, that's called Father. And then the Zekenecha, which is the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, and that's called Zekenecha, elders or grandfathers. And Ramban does not seem bothered by the difference. He says the different kinds of understanding. Avicha's understanding, Zekenecha's understanding. People who understand, don't try this at home by yourself, in other words, Ramban says. Don't try. If you make your own analysis of history, you may easily err or come up with some quirky conclusions. Don't do this yourself. Speak to those who know how to analyze history. Speak to those who understand the prism of Torah, and they'll be able to know and appreciate the lessons that we could learn from it. So here's what I want to focus on for the balance of this morning's class. This business of calling a prophet a father is derived from where? From Eliyahu HaNavi. Because Elisha says, Avi, Avi. But does anybody remember this is not the first time that Rashi is invoking this verse in this book? He's already evoked this. He's brought to mind the story of Eliyahu HaNavi. No, Kabbalat Avicha is literal. You have to actually honor. It's in this book. Who else is called the father?
Moshe. Oh, I know. When it's got to do with the sons of Aaron who regarded Moshe as their father.
Okay, yes, it has a little bit to do with that, but Rashi doesn't invoke the verse of Eliyahu HaNavi then. That's the origin of the idea.
Rats.
Very good. No, you're on a path. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was called the father of having begotten the children of Aaron because why? Because
he's
the Torah. Okay, so when do we actually in this book talk about a father but not mean a father?
Sefer Dvarim,
yeah. So I'm going to take you back to a verse that you're all very, very familiar with. I know you are, because it's in the Shema. You read it every day. Go back to Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. What does it say? Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. It's not such ancient history. We were just here.
I think it's like Columbia here.
The pasuk says, "Vishinantam, you should teach it, liva necha, to your children." Who does that mean? Is this a mitzvah only for parents? Is it a mitzvah that only applies if you have children? So Rashi says, "Elo hatalmidim, these are your disciples." And Rashi says, we find in every place the talmidim are called banim, and he brings a number of examples. And then towards the end of Rashi adds some very important words. He says, "Ushem shetalmidim kuruyim bonim," just like disciples are called children. Says Rashi, similarly, "Kach harav," the teacher of the Torah, is called karuy av. He's called father. How do we know this? Shenemar, because it's written, "Avi avi Rechav Yisrael. Father, Father, Chariot of Israel. So really Rashi has invoked this verse already. He's invoked this verse when he explained that Veshinantim Levanecha is not referring to children, physical, material children, but rather to Talmidecha, to your disciples. And Rashi felt it compelled and important to add at the end that Kashem Shatalmidim Kruim Banim, just like the disciples are called children, Rashi felt it compelling and necessary to share with you that Harav Korei Av, that the master, the teacher of Torah, is also called father. How do we know this? Shenemar, because it says Avi Avi Rechev Yisrael. So number one, how could the verse teach us both things? How could the verse teach us that a Rav is called father, and that a Navi is called father? Like, what was the lesson of the verse? What was the point of that verse when it says that Elisha said Avi Avi? Was he calling him as a Navi? Was he calling him as a Rav? Which he was both. Eliyahu was a Navi, but he was specifically the Rav, the teacher of Torah, of Elisha. So which one is it? Number one. Number two, something very interesting is that here in our parsha, that Rashi specifically mentions the name Eliyahu. How about in Parshas Veschanan? Does Rashi say anything about Eliyahu? He just says, "Ukashem shatamidim kriyim banim kacharav koreyav." Shenemar, because it says, doesn't mention Eliyahu or Navi's name. Just says Shenemar, as it's written or quote, Avi Avi Rechev Yisrael. Just quotes the verse. So this is what we're going to try to understand. Let's take a look in the Biurim book on page Kuf Tzadik Ches, Simen Tes, the ninth entry of Parshas Hazino. Kuf Tzadik Ches, like 198. So first of all, the Rebbe says, you know, it's interesting. This has shown up already in Rashi's commentary. In this book, Parshas Veschanan, I just told you, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. And here it's Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. So there's two distinctions here. Number one, Rav and Novi, teacher of Torah, and prophet, Einam, Toarim, Zehim, B'mash Musam. They are not one and the same. A Rav is not necessarily a Novi, and a Navi is not necessarily a Rav. They're two different things. You could have a prophet who did not teach Torah to anybody. That wasn't his thing. Maybe he taught Torah to one person, two people, I don't know. But he gave prophecy for the nation. We don't know that Nasan HaNavi, for example, had a yeshiva. We do know that he was a prophet. He brought messages to the king. Did he teach David Melch Torah? We don't know about that. David Melch was a big Talmud Chacham. Yeah, that's true. But the Navi that came to bring a message was a guy named Nasan. Okay, so the sage, or this person named Nasan, brought him prophecy, and surely he was a Torah scholar, and surely he studied Torah, but he wasn't necessarily a famous teacher of Torah. Maybe he was, I don't know. So you cannot say that they're one and the same. Well, if they're not one and the same, if they're two very different kinds of people, two very different kind of career paths, if you will, or different kinds of definition, well, if that's the case, how could you learn both from the same verse? The verse says, Avi Avi Rechev Yisrael, Father, Father, Chariot of Israel. Well, which one is the teaching? Was Elisha calling his Rav Avi Avi? Or was Elisha calling the prophet Avi Avi? You got to make up your mind. Which is, will the real Avi Avi Rechev Yisrael please rise? Is the Va'eschanan version of it, meaning, is it Rashi's way of understanding it in the beginning of Deuteronomy that Avi Avi is my teacher? Or is Avi Avi my prophet?
But why does Rashi even interpret the word Avicha here to be a prophet as opposed to
why does he interpret? So I started off this class, you came a little bit late. I started off this class by saying that Parshas Hazinu is virtually impossible to understand literally. It's all written in poetry with layers and layers of meaning. But even on a literal level, it presents a big problem for us to say, Sha'ala vicha v'yagetcha. If we're talking about history, if we're talking about learning the bigger lesson of the sands of time and how things have unfolded, who says your father is so smart? Maybe he's not a historian.
Maybe he doesn't. But right after it says Vayeged Skanecha. So why wouldn't that that fits so much better to say Harabim and Skanecha as opposed to Nevim and Skanecha?
Okay, so it's a great question. Your question is why didn't Rashi say simple solution? Avicha will be your Rebbe, and Zekenecha will be a prophet. What's the only problem with that? The problem with that, prophets are not called Zekenim. We find no location ever that prophets are referred to as elders.
No, I'm asking actually fundamentally, why not just interpret both words to be Rabbein?
Okay, so that's actually how Ramban takes it. Ramban says it's Mivini Dover, people who understand. But then, of course, the question comes, why did Torah have to repeat itself twice? It's the same message twice.
It's never instances, right? Where the Torah is superfluous.
Superfluous? Never. Chas v'shalom. Superfluous? Never. Chas v'shalom. Everything for God is meant. Superfluous comes from imperfection.
But I'm saying it can't be two different descriptions of the same group of people.
What for? Because you're used to speaking English. A hodgepodge of this comes from a hodgepodge of languages, which we have three words for every word sometimes. Because this came from Gaelic and from English and from French or from German. So we have three words for the same, means exactly the same thing, and there's no intrinsic difference. And people love to pepper their speech with words that are intrinsically the same, but sound sophisticated because you're not repeating the same word twice. But in Hebrew, we don't have that. Real Hebrew, Torah Hebrew. Torah Hebrew, every word, specific. And if a certain word is used, there's a meaning and a reason behind it. No. Nothing superfluous. That's not going to work here. The operating principle of our study of Torah is that there is no superfluity, if that's a word. There are times when the Torah will employ poetic prose. That's true. And that's a rare occasion. And Rashi will have to tell you that in this point, this place, Dibur Torah Kiloshem Bnei Adam, or the Torah speaks in human construct, or Rashi will tell us that that's the way, it's a manner of speech. Manner of speech. So we have to know that also, because we have to know, is this a manner of speech or is this a message being conveyed to us?
The fact that they say Avi Avi twice, does that have anything to do with...
Avi Avi was what Elisha said. When we'll study that pasuk in the Book of Kings, we'll delve into why he said it twice. Right? But that's what we're trying to understand. I was just alluding to that. And here, when the pasuk is mentioned, he clearly says Eliyahu. Rashi says, "K'may shenemer be'Eliyahu," but in Parshas Veschanim, Rashi doesn't say be'Eliyahu. He just says, "K'may shenemer avi." Leaves at the word be'Eliyahu. Why does Rashi mention Eliyahu's name here, but doesn't mention Eliyahu's name, Hadavi's name earlier? That's a real question. Rashi is that precise, that exact. The Yesh Levayer. So the Rebbe comes to explain this, and he says that avi, avi, my father, Rechav Yisrael. Chariot of Israel, Nemra Ayadei Elisha. These are not Leo and Avi's words. It's Elisha and Avi's words. Elisha was the Talmud. Elisha was the disciple of who? Eliyahu. Of Eliyahu. And when he refers to Eliyahu as Avi, as my father, what does he say? Avi. What else could he have said? If he wanted to say my father, but he was referring to him as our father, what would he have said?
Avinu.
But he doesn't say Avinu. He says Avi Avi. He says my father. And because he uses Lashon Yachad, the Rebbe says Avi Avi, not Avinu Avinu. Mashmat seems Shakinu Avi, first and foremost, is an expression of the personal relationship between Elisha and between Eliyahu. Avi Avi, my father. My father, my Rebbe. He's my Rebbe. It's a yachas. It alludes and addresses. It refers to a relationship of Rav and Talmud, of mentor and pupil. Mikan lo yimed Rashi. This is how Rashi learns in Parshas Veschanan. Sheharav kari av. How do you know that Rav is called Av? How do you know that teacher is called father? Because Elisha, who had a personal relationship with Eliyahu, Eliyahu was his teacher. When he loses his teacher, he says, my father, Avi. So it can only talk to us about my teacher. But Yachadim Zaysadeva says, in addition to this, Mikasha Biti Avi Avi, the fact that my father is also tzamud, is also attached to a different bitu, a different expression. What else did Elisha say? He said, my father, and what else did he say? He called him chariot of He didn't say my chariot. He didn't say my hero. He said hero of Israel, chariot of Israel. In other words, Rechav Yisrael, this is Nitan Lahavin. This is allows us to understand Shenesef Amashma Usi Ha'ikriyas, that besides the primary message, which is the primary message that the Kinu of thee, my father, refers to my Rebbe. My Rebbe. Av V'Rav LeElisha, a father and a master, a teacher, a Rebbe for Elisha. But yesh lekinu zeh mashmus, this also has a mashmus, a meaning, biyachas leklal Yisrael, with regard to the plurality of the nation of Israel. For the nation of Israel, Eliyahu HaNavi may not have been a teacher, but to the nation of Israel, what was he? He was a prophet. So, because the terminology that Elisha uses is not only personal terminology, but it's also global, because he also incorporates ideas that are beyond the frame of his personal relationship in invoking this idea of Rechev Yisrael, chariot of Israel, from this we can understand that the concept of the prophets also is attaches itself to the meaning, to the concept of your father as well. There is a certain paternal element here, which is that the prophets are called avos. In order for Rashi here to emphasize how and why this is true here. So here he says, Nemar be'Eliyahu. Everybody knows, you use the word Eliyahu, what's the first thing for any Jew? If you say the word Eliyahu, what's the next word that comes to mind? Hanavi. That's Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi is one of the most famous prophets. Not everybody knows about Chavakuk, that he was a prophet, or Nochem or Yoel, or Tzfanya. But everybody knows Eliyahu. Not everybody even knows Yechezkel. But Eliyahu they know. And this, he's known as Eliyahu Hanavi, that's his last name. With David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra HaSofer, Mordechai HaTzadik, and Eliyahu HaNavi. So the word Eliyahu is synonymous with prophecy. It goes hand in hand. And therefore, when he says, Nemar be'Eliyahu, Rashi doesn't have to talk about it in Parsha V'Eschana, because there it's not important if Eliyahu was a prophet or not a prophet. What was important there is that Elisha responded to the loss of his personal teacher, his Torah mentor. He said, "My Avi, Avi, my father." He said, "My Rebbe is my father." But here, Rashi wants to emphasize Nemar be'Eliyahu. This doesn't just say it by any sage, by any leader, by any Torah inspiration. It says be'Eliyahu, which is synonymous. Everybody knows the word Eliyahu automatically to think of Hanavi. And therefore, Eliyahu Hanavi says Avi Avi, Rechav Yisrael, because Rechav Yisrael is a global terminology, and that's attached to the specific terminology of Avi Avi. From here, we can also understand euphemistically that the idea of Nevi'im could be referred to, not b'chol makim, not everywhere, not like by a teacher, but it could be referred to as the concept of father, and therefore we could say that the poetry in Parshas Hazinu that says Sha'al Avicha, and then it says Zikei Necha, that Avicha could refer to the prophet, and Zikei Necha would refer to the sages. So you ask your prophets and your sages, and they will show you how to learn the lessons of history. They will teach you how to interpret its messages and its ideas into our lives today so we can live them appropriately. And that's the story of the paternal prophet. Eibishter should help. We should meet all the Nevi'im and, of course, be able to enter from Mashiach, who will be a great teacher and a great prophet. B'mheira u'b'yameinu. We don't have prophets.